We're only going to read one verse. Let's all stand as we read that one verse. You always want to respect the Word of God in every way, shape, and form, no matter where it is. Genesis chapter 3. Call your attention to a familiar verse to most of us. In verse 15. As Jesus, or as God, curses Satan, he says, "And I will put enmity," that means a war, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." This verse was the first time that God had cursed Satan on earth. He cursed him, of course, in heaven when he kicked him out of heaven. Read that in Ezekiel 28, also Isaiah 14. But you see that God cursed the man, cursed the woman, and he cursed Satan. This verse is the most important verse in the whole Bible as far as our salvation is concerned. You'll find out why. I want to preach this morning on the battle of the ages. Heavenly Father, bless as I try to teach the Word of God this morning. I pray that we'll be able to be attentive and appreciate our salvation even more after the study. Bless this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Quite a verse this is in verse 15. When he's talking to Satan, he says about thy seed. In other words, Satan's seed. And that would be everybody that's ever born. We're in the family of the devil. As we're born into this world because we're sinners. We're born sinners. We're in the wrong family spiritually. That's why you got to be born again into the right family, spiritual. And so salvation hinges upon this. But the thing says, the verse says here, "between thy seed," I just explained that, but then it says "her seed." A seed that would come out of a woman. Wait a minute, seed always comes out of a man. Satan didn't know what to make of this. But he knew God didn't lie. So if he could get a hold of this seed, whatever it is, then he'd be out of trouble. He would have won the war. This seed of the woman. Because it says, "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The head is the mastermind, the plans. But somebody's going to interrupt that. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ when you come right down to it. Spurgeon said, "The heel is the part within the serpent's reach. Jesus, in taking on humanity, brought himself near to Satan's domain so Satan could strike him. That bruised heel is painful enough. Behold our Lord in his human nature, sore bruised, he was betrayed, bound, accused, buffeted, scourged, spit upon, and he was nailed to the cross. He hung there in thirst and fever and darkness and desertion. Gonna have his heel. His heel bruised. What is this seed? The devil knew God meant it. Who could this seed be? How and when? So the devil started watching any kind of birth that would come out of the woman. The only ones that existed was Adam and Eve. So he was keeping his eye on Cain and Abel. Abel coming out first, and then Cain. And then we see that the first murder was committed. Now, there's only two powers spiritually. There's the power of good and the power of evil. There's the power of God and the power of Satan. Which power do you think was in Cain to kill his only brother Abel? That would be the power of Satan. He had to pick one of those seeds. He didn't know which one, but he knew Abel came out first. He inspired Cain to kill Abel. He thought he could stab that seed and that he would have victory over God. He kept his eye all this time. You see, the offering would tell which one might be the seed. In 1 John 3:12, it says, "Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And therefore, and wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous." He brought forth the right offering. He brought a lamb. Abel got that from his father Adam when Adam told him about he and his wife Eve sinning and taking of that forbidden fruit. God had to kill an animal, probably a lamb. The way it's working out, that would fit into the Lamb of God and everything that's all the way through the Bible. And us being sheep ourselves, but the Lamb of God died for us. So that was probably it. But Cain brought of the fruit of the ground. That's talking about works. You got to work to be a farmer. You got to till and put in seed and water and everything else. That's a picture of works. That's why God did not respect Cain's offering. And because of jealousy of his own brother, he murdered him. John 8:44 tells us that Jesus talking about Satan, that he is the author of murder. He was a murderer from the beginning. When was the beginning? Right here, Genesis. You want anything in the beginning, you got to go back to Genesis. So even the Lord, he's pointing right back here. There was a stream of blood as Satan was trying to stab at this seed, whatever it may be. What do you think all of this bloodshed is about? Out here all around us and what we're living in, even in America today. Of those two powers, which one do you think is behind all of these murders and everything that's going on? It's Satan activity, is it not?
Yes, sir.
And so we see this happening as well. Go to Genesis chapter 6. He's trying to find this seed and destroy it. Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply and face the earth, and daughters were born unto them." Drop down to verse 5, it says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Aha! A corrupt race. But he didn't kill the seed yet. Now wait a minute, if they're all bad, Satan thought he had a mate. All of these seeds around, one of them's got to be the seed. Little did he know, 8 people would get on that ark and be saved from destruction. He didn't know that that seed was going to come from Shem. Shem, Ham, and Japheth was on that ark. Everyone here came from one of those boys getting off Noah's ark. Way back there in Genesis chapter 6. God was able to keep a pure line because God saw in Noah that he had grace. God showed grace upon Noah because of that. What came out of those boys, Enos and Canaan? You read these things as you read through the Bible. We won't take a lot of time picking out every little one that's there. But I'm trying to keep you on track to see that this is the battle that started in Genesis 3:1, and it's going to go all the way through the Bible till we get over there. Mrs. Drake wanted the microphone closer so she could sing, and so she got it up here. Now I'm hitting the thing all the time. I blame everything on her. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 9. It says there, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God." Look at chapter 7, verse 1. "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark. For thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." Wow, when God says somebody's righteous, seed must be there. So, again, Satan's trying to figure this out and killing people and corrupting people as much as he can. Love and mercy. Noah built that altar after he got off of that ark. Go to chapter 9 and in verse 1. Chapter 9, verse 1. "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." But you know, Satan didn't take any vacation. He was going to be looking for that seed still, and he's going to kill as many as he can to try to get that seed. Chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11 and verse 1. "And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech." And in verse 7 it says, "Go to," God saying this, "go to, let us." Isn't that interesting? Let us go down. There's more than one. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Us. Let us go down and confound their language. They may not understand one another's speech. Here you find all of the nations being split up. You often wondered where the nations came from, right there. So God's a God of language as well. Everybody had the same language until then. Why did God choose only 2 main languages for the Bible to come to us? Hebrew and Greek. Greek in the New Testament, Hebrew in the Old. By the way, we're coming into the Christmas season, so forth. Sometimes you see Xmas when people abbreviate Christmas, and where that comes from is from the Greek, because the word for Christ in the Greek starts with X. And so many have, down through the years, used X in front of Mass, or just it's not talking about a Catholic Mass, it's talking about a group of people that it's coming to get. Do you ever notice how many times X is used, even in our customs? When you go to sign something, there's an X there. Stands for Christ. In other words, you're saying this is true. That came from the Greek word, chi. That X stands for chi. Any of you good that knew anything about colleges and sororities and so forth, and they have Greek names, you know, for each one, Alpha and all of this. But that's what the X stands for. And even our kids, cross your heart, hope to die, talking about Christ. In other words, I'm telling you the truth. And yeah, cross your fingers, you know, when you're going to lie or something. All of these different customs that came because of that. But God's the one that made up all of the languages there, and that was for it. What's the next one that Satan's going to go for? Chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land I will show you, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless you, and bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Satan knew that this seed was going to come from Abraham. You got it? You following? This is what he did. And he went after Abraham and his children as well. Shem, Nahor, Terah, Abram. Well, we just read right there. Keep your place and go to Galatians chapter 3. Keep your place. Galatians chapter 3. I told you it was going to be an exhaustive Bible study this morning. That's what it is. Because this has to do with Christmas as well. Galatians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, now to Abram and his seed, underline seed in your Bible, were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, in other words, more than one, as of many, but as one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. In the New Testament, it gives us the answer. You got it in black and white, brother. You got it right from God. Go to Hebrews chapter 7. Book of Hebrews chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 10. Now go to verse 9. And as I may say, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. You know what happened with Abraham? He lied. Abraham lied twice. Once to Pharaoh and once to Abimelech. Because of fear. Remember those two powers I talked about? Who do you think influenced Abraham through fear to lie? When God said that your seed, Abraham, it's going to bless all of the people in the world. Wow. And Abraham lied. Abraham did wrong. You see how Satan's working in the background? He's looking for that seed. He knows Abraham's involved, and he knows that Abraham's children, then, as they came forth, that they would be involved too. You got to watch out about that fear stuff. When you fear things, that's going to control you. It can be like a drug. It'll just control you. You've got a foreign substance that you shouldn't have in there because God tells you not to fear over and over and over again in the Bible. Be courageous and fear not, tells Joshua, and so forth, all the way through the Bible. Get that fear thing out of there. A great man like Abraham do it. You know you can too. Get that out of your life. That's a sin. He lied, told her that it was his sister. Not so at all. Go back to Genesis. We're trying to get through the Bible on this thing. Genesis chapter 15. Genesis 15 and verse 4. Behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir. I should back up and explain what's going on here. It's because Abraham was married to Sarah, and he promised Abraham that he would have a child, and that would be the seed. But Sarah got impatient, said, I'm too old for this thing. You know, God's got his numbers mixed up or something. We're going to help out God. So she said, Abraham, go into my bondmaid Hagar. And sure enough, out comes Ishmael. It's where we get the Arabs from. That's where we get Muhammad from. And so they thought, this was, you know, we helped out God. And sure enough, I had a baby. But it didn't come out of Sarah. It came out of Hagar. And this is what the Lord said here in verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, talking of Ishmael. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen.
Look at how many people have gotten saved because of that seed that will come. The Lord Jesus Christ. But Satan didn't know that at the time. And so here he's trying to sidetrack things. So watch out about impatience within your life too. If God told you what to do, then you do what God told you to do. You don't listen to somebody else. No philosopher, doctor, or anything else. God told you, you do it. God will never tell you to do wrong. He wants the best for your life. If he told you to go to church, go to church. Be faithful about it. If he told you to tithe, which he did in the Bible, don't mess around with it. Tithe of your increase and more as you get closer to the Lord. You will make out in the long run, my friend. You don't know how you can go ahead and tithe and everything else. If God told you to do it, He'll make up the difference. Don't you worry. Anyway, so here's Jesse was born out of Abraham. And guess who came out of Abraham or Jesse? That'd be David. King David. Go to 2 Samuel chapter 7. 2 Samuel chapter 7. I don't want you to just believe me as I tell you all of this. I want you to see it for yourself, as always. You should do that with any preacher too. 2 Samuel chapter 7. Little did they know that little David is where the seed was going to come from. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and in verse 8. He says, "Now therefore, so shalt thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took thee from the sheepcote, from following the sheep, to be ruler over my people, over Israel." God took a little shepherd boy and made him king over Israel. Look at verse 16. "And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever." Whoa! A man only lives 100 years, couple hundred back in Bible days. His throne's going to be forever. So you just use a little brain power. It's going to be a seed that comes out of David that's going to finally end up at the promised seed from Genesis 3:15 that we started out with. And that throne will last forever. He's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so that's how this is all going to end up. I kind of gave you a little extra view ahead of time. But that's what happens. Saul was chasing David. Wanted to kill David. Who put that in Saul's mind? David was supposed to have his throne forever. Promise to God, he'll always carry that out. Satan's there stabbing away at that seed. Which one is it? He's trying to follow this line of genealogies. Genealogies are very important in the Bible. You see lists of them all the time. As a matter of fact, when you finally get to the New Testament, you find two genealogies. One in Matthew 1 and one in Luke chapter 3. Genealogies are very important. It just takes time to study them out. Of course, we can't say the names of half the people in the Bible anyway. I'm sure God just laughs every time I try to pronounce one of these names. And the Lord's up there and he's like, "What did that preacher say?" God is a God of humor. There's no doubt about it. Three occasions in the Bible, it came down to one man to carry on that seed. Satan almost won. He almost won. Go to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. Giving you some meat this morning. 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 5. Talking about Hezekiah. "Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord God of David, thy father, I have heard thy prayer, and I've seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee, and on the third day thou shalt go up to the house of God, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend the city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. How come he's bringing up David all the time? Because he made a promise that seed's going to come out of David. And when it talks about Jesus being born, you read there in Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, and it talks about the throne of David. It refers back to what I'm teaching you this morning. And Hezekiah was sick. He could have died. Why did God give him 15 more years so he could pass on the seed? God was overlooking the Lord Jesus Christ coming all the way through these thousands of years. Then there was Kaniah. Go to Jeremiah chapter 22. Jeremiah chapter 22. You a Bible student? We're going to study the Bible. I hope you do this at home too. You know what happened to me last night? After studying and everything last night, as I always do to prepare for Sunday, so I went to bed 12:30. Got up at 2:30. Couldn't get back to sleep. Went out. So I've been studying all of this right through the night to go ahead and bring this morning. But you know, there are seasons of that happen in your life. You wonder why sometimes you can't sleep, or you wake up and you don't know why and everything else. Don't lay there tossing and turning. Get up and get in the book. Guess who woke you up? God woke you up. He wants to talk to you about something in your life. He wants to point out a verse to you as you're going ahead and meditating and turning a different verse. All of a sudden it jumps out at you, hits you across the head. Hey, God wanted to do that. That's in the will of God. So sometimes we don't get the 8 we're always supposed to get and everything, you know. That's fairy tale. Anyway, but God does that kind of thing, and you find it in the Bible too, that they can't sleep. But here, Jeremiah chapter 22 and in verse 24. What I'm trying to say is, I'm running on fumes. Okay, Jeremiah 22, verse 24. As I live, saith the Lord, though Kaniah, he's also called Jeconiah, Jehoiakim, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, were assigned upon my right hand, yet would I pluck thee hence, and I will give thee unto the hand of them that seek thy life, and unto the hand of them whose face thou fearest, even unto the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and unto the hand of the Chaldeans, and I will cast thee out, and thy mother that bare thee, into another country, where ye were not born, and there shall ye die, but to the land whereunto they desire to return, thither shall they not return. Is this man, Kaniah, a despised broken idol? Is he a vessel wherein is no pleasure? Wherefore are they cast out, he and his seed, and are cast into a land which they know not? O earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, write this man childless, a man that shall not prosper in his days, for no man of his seed shall prosper, sitting upon the throne of David and ruling any more in Judah. Through the genealogy, it was supposed to go through Kaniah. He was such a wicked man. God changed that thing up. It's the only time in the Bible that this happened. Do you ever wonder why there were two genealogies there in the New Testament? One in Matthew and one in Luke 3, I told you. In Matthew chapter 1, it's talking about the theocratic, legal names. Let's go to it. Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Mark this in your Bibles. I hope you got a pen with you with your Bible. Always bring that to church. You won't ever remember this stuff. You got to write it down. Matthew chapter 1. Starting right off. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David. See there. The son of Abraham. See there. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac and Jacob, and so forth, and right on down. These names do not match up with the names that are in Luke chapter 3. Why? Because it takes two to tangle. Joseph. This is his line. It's through the man, legal theocratic right to the throne only is what this is all about. This genealogy goes up in history. It goes up to Jesus Christ. It starts with Abraham. You see that in verse 2. So that's a long time ago, and it's going to go up to Jesus Christ. When you get to Luke 3, it comes down from Christ. Let's go. I'll show you. Luke chapter 3. Luke chapter 3. If the message is too long, you need to pray that God doesn't wake me up in the middle of the night like this.
Don't just walk out.
Yeah. Amen. Luke chapter 3. And sure enough, here it starts in verse 23. As I said, take out your pen because you better circle something. It says, and Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age, being, as it was supposed, the son of Joseph, which was the son of Heli. And it keeps on going until it ends up in verse 38. Do you see it? Now it's going backwards. Not forwards like Matthew did. But all of those names are different because this is the bloodline. The other was just the legal names of the fathers. But the bloodline came through Mary. This is Mary's genealogy. As I said, two becomes one. Is that the way marriage works? Amen. So this is what's happening. And in verse 23, you see that Joseph didn't have anything to do with this. Take your pen and circle as was supposed. The son of Joseph. He wasn't the son of Joseph. He was the son of God. It came through Mary. Joseph didn't have anything to do with the birth. So you got to pay attention to this stuff. This is the natural pedigree of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're seeing over here in Luke chapter 3. And it goes on. I've used a lot of time, I know it. But I'm going to try to wrap it up for you.
I'll send off each.
Every time, as soon as Jesus was born, and a lot of this stuff, I think you know, you just have to put it together like I'm trying to do for you so you understand. What's the first thing that happened after Jesus was born? Had the shepherds, had the wise men coming from the east, talking to the king, King Herod. And what King Herod tried to do? He tried to kill that seed because they said he's king. Wait a minute, you had to go back to David to get that. He's coming out of David. Herod's a Roman. Somebody's going to take over my kingship? So he put out the order to kill every baby 2 years of an age and younger because he didn't know who the seed was. And so all of those innocent children were killed. It's nothing new. Abortion does that by the millions all the time. It's even legalized and everything else. That's how bad shape we're in. Herod did that. But God told them to go down to Egypt and hide until Herod died. Herod died. They came back. They were in Nazareth. So right off the bat, after the seed, we know what the seed is, we read the verse, which is Christ, it said. As soon as he's born, Satan's trying to kill him. He's been stabbing at people all the way through the Old Testament. Now you come into the New Testament. Then they take Jesus to a trip to be able to celebrate a festival, one of the feasts of Israel, and they lose him. Wow! Satan said, "Oh no, where is he?" You know, Satan only knows so much. He's not God. He's powerful, but he's not as powerful as God. All of this is going on every time. He's stabbing at that little baby. Then what happened? They tried to kill Jesus all the way through the New Testament, the Gospels, right? All the time the Pharisees were plotting to try to kill him. Little did they know, it was because this is a battle of the ages. Satan thinks he's getting real close now. And figure this thing out. All I got to do is kill him. What would that do to us? Jesus wouldn't make it to the cross. He wouldn't die for our sin. We'd all be in hell. We wouldn't be here today. That's how important this message is. They arrested Jesus at night, just after he'd been in Gethsemane, and he was praying, "Let this cup pass from me." Who was there? Satan. Even before Jesus started his earthly ministry, there were 40 days of temptation. It was Satan, for sure, telling them to jump off that pinnacle and kill himself. If you be the Son of God. All of this is going on. We didn't know what was behind it. All of this intricate stuff that happened during that time. Look at John chapter 12. John chapter 12, I'm trying to get this together for you. Remember the record that one preacher set? 48 hours preaching? Amen. So, count your blessings. It's not going to be that long. John chapter 12, verse 23. Sure enough, Jesus said, the hour is come. What's he talking about? The hour is come. You understand, Jesus is God. He knew about this battle all the way through. He knew who he was. He knew what the plan was. And he knew Satan was trying to get him to die before he could get to that cross. You understand, he willingly went to the cross. He said, I lay it down on myself. No man taketh my life from me. So he was doing that on purpose to fulfill this great battle of the ages that is going on. And he talks about it, does he not? In that way. John chapter 12, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say, Father? Save me from this hour. But for this cause I came I unto this hour. Huh? There's a cause. There's a reason. Jesus is the answer to everything in life. And sure enough, I've got so many scriptures here to be able to tell you. I can't do it all. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7, it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Satan was trying to kill him in Gethsemane. It says he was praying so fervently, the blood was coming right out of his sweat pores. A medical condition. Hemo something. I got it written down. But anyway, under great pressure, it's not very often that that happens, but this is the pressure that the Lord was under. Why? Because he is the seed. He's going to go all the way for us. Go to Colossians chapter 2. The book of Colossians chapter 2. I hope you love the Bible. That's what you're going to get at this church. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. It says, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. In other words, it's over. It's completed. Which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. This is spiritual. In putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, talking about the law in the Old Testament, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities and powers. What's that? That's Satan coming after him. The power of Satan. He spoiled that on the cross. When he finally made it there, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ, what we're so familiar with. Taking that cross up to the hill of Calvary, Golgotha in the Hebrew. He's up there in that cross. They hang him there for 6 hours, 9 o'clock in the morning till 3. And what's the last thing he says? It is finished. everything I just preached to you. The plan of salvation, the seed coming out of the woman. Thousands of years this has been going on. I tried to give you the high points in the Old Testament to show you. That's how he triumphed over it publicly, openly. Because 3 days later, he resurrected, brother. He came out of the grave. The battle of the ages was over. Jesus completed the whole thing, and so it's complete with us. We don't have to look for anything else. We're complete in him. Put all of your trust in him. Follow him. Love him. Honor him. Worship him. Live for him. He's worthy. A wonderful hero of the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for us taking the time to study and learn and pay attention during this teaching period, this morning, this message. Lord, you're the one that willed it. You're the one that wanted it. Lord, we thank you for everything in the Bible. We just need to put it together. Life's a puzzle. But you show the outcome in your word. Thank you that you make it clear to us. I pray that each one of us will devote ourselves to following you and telling others of the wonderful victory that we have in Jesus. Because of him. Bless as we go our ways in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Take your hymn books. And let's close with a hymn as we always do. And 220 always hits the nail on the head. Our victor. Because he had victory, we have victory.
Right.
We've got a message to tell to the lost, our lost relatives, our lost friends, our lost workers that we work with. No matter who it is, tell them the story. Try to talk to them. Plead for their souls. They don't know what they're doing. They're just lost. Ever been lost in a forest or something? Don't know where you are, no compass, you don't know which way's north or any. Yeah, you're lost. That's the way they are out there in the world today. They don't know that God really loves them and that Jesus loves them so much he died for them. Tell them. Tell them. Oh, so are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and light more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And all the people said,
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't forget tonight's service at 6 o'clock. God bless you. Have a good day.